love Unofficial Mills.
This is a download from unofficialmills.co.uk.
It's been off air for a week, but in that time, our Facebook and my Twitter have been going crazy with listeners saying, please, Scott, we want more of 24 years at the tap end.
Yeah. How many tweets did you get?
A couple. It's the autobiography of my mate Chris, and God, I've missed it. How about you, Becala?
Oh, I thought you were on holiday with him, getting your own...
I have my own version,
yeah. I can't wait for those chapters.
He's banned me.
I've said, do you know what? I've deliberately made an effort not to ask you how your holiday together was.
No, I so banned it from Tap End.
So, have you? Because yeah. I was going to wait for the Tap End chapters, because I thought Chris puts everything so eloquently.
Yeah. So how's it been going, Chris? All right?
All right, yeah. It's just thinking up stuff from my life to talk about, really.
I know.
Because personally...
Imagine at the end of it, you're going to have a really nice big book.
Well, we're going to have a book. I mean, the amount I've written more than I did in dissertation, any schoolwork. So
something to show the grandkids, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll be like, yeah, I don't care.
Really? Oh.
Okay, everybody. I think it's time for another excerpt. So, whatever you're doing, sit down, relax. Maybe have a little sip from that cup of coffee or tea that you're having right now.
Oh, have a biscuit.
Treat yourself.
Chocolate.
Here is the next bit of Chris's autobiography, 24 years at the tap end. Enjoy it.
Ready?
Oh, God! Oh,
yes, we're ready. Sorry. I just did a massive intro.
Sorry. Did he do this on holiday?
Oh, God. Ready?
Yeah.
Millsy, ready?
Oh, right. My 19th year at the tap end. I just had the best summer of my life. Me and the lads had had a great time in Malia and had our last drinks in the pub we all used to go to, the Misty Moon in Northwood. Was a bit emotional, really. I think we all thought things were going to change from there on in. Most of the lads were heading off to different unis all over the UK, and those that weren't were getting jobs. It came to the day which was to be my first day at Southampton Uni. I think my mum was more excited than me about it, and my poor dad was trying to get as much of my stuff into the car as he could. I was a bit gutted to be leaving home, but think that was more the fear of the unknown than anything else. Just off the M3, we turned left and there was my halls, Glen Eyre Halls.
Aww.
We went through the barrier and drove around the corner to my block.
I know it well.
Course,
why
yeah.
do you know it? You didn't go to Southampton University.
I used to sneak into the university radio when I was 15.
I wonder what you're going to say. Sneaking into the halls?
I used to do little random shows. My mate was a student there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
The halls looked amazing. Big fountain in the middle surrounded by a big square of grass. There were loads of reps helping us to unload cars. Sorry,
reps?
I'm reading this weird, aren't I?
Reps, like off of Malia?
They were like freshers reps, they were called. It was basically all the second years had a shirt to show how important they were so that they could get off with the freshers. That's the truth of it.
Really?
But on that day, to impress the parents and that they're there to help, they unload cars and stuff like that.
But they've got an ulterior.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We found a space, went to the reception to register, then made our way up to my room in H Block. I was having to share a room for the first 6 weeks of uni until my accommodation was sorted out.
Oh, I don't know about this.
I could have been with any nutter, but I was told he wouldn't be there till 2 days later, so until then I had the room to myself. We carried my stuff up and I quickly banished my parents. And there I was, in a room in Southampton by myself, surrounded by boxes of kitchen stuff I didn't know how to use. I decided to go visit the bar, which was right on my doorstep. Although I didn't know it at the time, this bar was to make up the content of some of the best chapters of my life. I thought I'd go give it a look and take the opportunity to go spot some early talent in preparation for the following evening's toga party. The start of freshers.
They still do those toga parties. Why do they do it?
Always.
Why?
Always in freshers. It's a toga party, a school disco.
Or and, Baywatch.
And, yeah, life. What else do they do? It's mainly love a toga party.
They love it. I don't know why. They just love it.
A bloke called Oggy approached me to say hello.
How do you know his name was Oggy?
Well, I know now.
Right.
It's like half of this is with hindsight. A bloke called Oggy approached me to say hello. He was Tonk, and I noticed he was making a huge effort to get to know all the on-site girls with some great success.
He was what?
Tonk.
What's that?
It's a word he uses for, like, a hunk.
Stacked.
Yeah.
Well, I don't call him a hunk. You know,
Have you got a thing at the back? What do they call it in like old books where you don't know the word?
Oh, an index.
Yeah,
can do.
Tonk.
Because you need to have that for tonk. That needs to have a little one by it, and okay. then a bit at the back where you can reference it, or at least at the bottom of the page.
I'll write that in now.
Anywho, back to Tonk Oggy. I want to know more.
I decided he must be the one I try and attach myself to for protection.
Were the ladies liking him?
Yeah. Hmm. He was a freshers rep and clearly held the power.
I bet you ended up hating him.
Oggy would later become my housemate for my future years at uni.
Oh.
But there's plenty of stories I look forward to telling about this legend. That night, to try and make friends and to impress Oggy, I told a lie that I regret saying. I claimed that I had recently pulled the ginger one from the Sugar Babes.
We've done this before.
Yeah. This would later lead to my first year nickname being called Sugar Babe. I'm ashamed of this, as this name and reputation was built on a foundation of lies.
All lies, Chris.
Yeah, I'm really... I do regret that.
Do you?
Because it was then a lie that I had to go along with for a year.
Yeah. What, so every time people had heard about it, did you just say, yeah, I did?
Yeah, I did. And the problem is, the more you lie, the more elaborate it gets, the harder it is to remember stuff.
Right, well, what did this story end up being then?
Well, I did meet this girl, actually. I met her in Misty Moons in Northwood once.
Who?
The ginger one from the Sugar Babes.
Siobhan?
That's it.
Yeah.
And, But yeah, I
claimed... You didn't get off with her?
No, I didn't.
What actually happened with you and Siobhan? You said, all right.
I went up to her after a couple and was like, all right, and she had basically had no interest whatsoever.
No.
Sort of was with her mates, it was all very awkward.
And then what did the story end up being by the time all the Chinese whispers got involved?
That I'd previously pulled her and was going out with her briefly before I started uni and dumped her so I could be single and freshers.
How much did that escalate?
That was a bad one.
That was really bad. I like this, because this is like one of those autobiographies where people, you know, really speak from the heart and they say their regrets about what they've done in their life. And this is what yours is like.
Now. I want to be honest.
Yeah, no, I like it.
I also had recently acquired Rachel Stevens' number.
How?
I can't disclose how. And to impress him, I called it. I don't mean it. I mean, I called the number.
You're not calling Rachel Stevens it?
And left a voicemail.
Hang on a second. Right. If you're being honest, how the hell did you get Rachel Stevens' number? No. Was it her actual number?
I'm almost certain this is the correct number, just because of the way it was got.
Who gave you the number?
It was acquired through Bradley.
Who?
Bradley S Club?
Yeah.
Bradley S Club 7 gave you Rachel S Club 7's number?
For money?
Not quite. This has all gone wrong. I can't say, can
you? You paid Bradley from S Club for Rachel's number?
No.
He showed you her number on his phone. You memorised it.
Almost.
Right. I knew this. I know you so well. You wrote it down.
Why was he showing you Rachel's number?
Am I right?
Number?
He wasn't showing me.
It's gone so red.
It was acquired through Bradley.
Yeah.
From someone else who used that technique. I can't say who. I can't say how.
Okay. Well, that's all I need to know. Move on.
I can't disclose how, and to impress him... No, I've read this bit. I called and left a voicemail. I must point out at this point, Rachel Stevens does not have a clue who I am. I therefore also apologise to Rachel Stevens for the voicemail that night, but thank her for helping me survive my first night at uni.
What happened? What did you say on the voicemail?
I did the age-old thing of, hiya, it's Chris, can you give us a call back?
Classy.
So that she would then hear it, go, oh, God, Chris. I must know Chris. Yeah, I know Chris. I'll call him back and find out which one. She never did.
No.
I hope one day to buy Rachel Stevens and the ginger one from Sugar Babes a drink. If it wasn't for them, my first night at uni wouldn't be the start of some important chapters of my life. I went back to my room. Darkness fell on my first night.
Is that what you call it?
I went back to my room. Darkness fell on my first night, moved away from home. That makes no sense.
No.
I pressed play on the streets and Kano CD in my CD player. And although I was a bit sad and missed my mates from home, exciting and incredible times were to come.
That is lovely, lovely chapter. That I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
And that was today's 24 years at the Tap End instalment. Let me know if you enjoyed it. The Scott Mills Daily.